Blog Talk Radio.
Looks of it, universally speaking, you definitely need devotion. I don't. That's why the Real Talk for Real People show was designed to help get you a garner that devotion by giving you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. how you should interact with him, with one another, and with strangers, meaning different nations. But before we get started in these studies, it's good to be back. And be that as it may, you know, I always have some contemporary comments to make about ongoing subject matters. Kevin McCartney, the royal leadership of the Republican Party, says he's sick of Liz Cheney, despite a 98% voting record with the Republicans' agenda and with Donald J. Trump. He's sick of him. Why? She won't bow down beneath the idol of universal white race supremacy / Donald Trump. And she won't lie to herself in her youth. I'm sick of her. What a party. These people are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. What a party. Also, internationally speaking, it appears that the people in India are having hard times. You see, instead of the prime minister trying to do something constructive and a positive with his time, he sort of gave the Indian people a blank check. Said, we defeated COVID-19 without doing anything about it, just lip service. And now a billion plus people are catching hell from all ends. They are lacking in oxygen and all medical sources and even the manpower to facilitate help for the people. You would think with all those gods they got, one of them would have stepped up to the plate. But that ain't what happened. And last but not least, Derek Chauvin, attorney, filed for a new trial, claiming that, you know, one of the jurors had marched in a protest in Washington about the mistreatment of black people, so-called black people, blank people, black people, blank people, that's what it is, blank people. And that may have prejudiced that juror. That juror lied. Well, man, come on, be for real. If any so-called brother and sister in this Western Hemisphere don't have a problem with this system, something is sadly wrong and sadly amiss with them. And it said that tainted the jurors' perspectives in spite of the overwhelming evidence. And also the venue. He said, we asked for a change of venue. I guess he wanted to have the trial on Mars. And I think one of the other arguments that he didn't, he was slinging it all coming from all ends, and that the jurors didn't sequester the jury. And because he didn't sequester the jury, meaning that he didn't lock them down 24/7, that they may have saw something or heard something, may have, if a coulda, woulda, shoulda argument. They may have saw something or heard something on television or whatnot. They would have changed it. They would have took some seconds off that 9 minutes and 29 seconds. Some people never cease to amaze me. Well, we're going to get right into our studies, but before we do, one of the lead students right along with me, and I'm a student also, that helped give these studies, Cartier from New York City, and may the Most High bless him and his family. I got about to bring him on, and I'm pretty sure he's going to express some commentaries also before we get started in our studies. Katria, may the Most High bless you and your family. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom. Yom Shuv Ari. Welcome back. May the Most High bless you and the family.
Thank you very much, brother. You know, I didn't attend personally, but I live streamed it as it was ongoing. So I got an opportunity to live stream, and I was in contact with one of my sister-in-laws via, you know, during the proceedings, chastising her about her behavior. Sit up straight. Don't be rocking. And tell my brother, sit down, you know, that type stuff, you know. Otherwise, it was pretty decent. It wasn't ghetto fabulous, my sister funeral, so I enjoyed watching from a distance. I wasn't going to let Rona catch me up in that, you know. In some places, you don't want to be anyway, so. But I definitely wasn't going to let Rona catch me up in that. Because they were talking about it was spread out. I didn't see the spread out. I saw all my family members, all close up, 150 people. I didn't see nobody spread it out as they said it was going to be spread in this venue that supposedly held 2,000 people. I didn't see no spread out. Mm-mm. So I did the best thing I could for myself. For Rona did it to me. All right, Katria, you got the mic, brother.
As family is family, we ain't really close like we should be. We only come together at funerals and weddings and
unfortunately,
other occasions.
Unfortunately, Katria, you're right.
And it just shows you the time we're living in. Mm-hmm. A virtual funeral. That's crazy.
Exactly.
But anyway, you know, the universal white racist supremacists are at it, trying to get the police officer off.
No doubt.
By any means necessary. You know, how many police officers have been to KKK rally? Let's find that out. How about that? Open up cans of worms. Let's open up some cans of worms.
Let's talk about the other side. They rallies.
Open up some real cans of worms, baby.
You showed up with the
find out who's online, you know, with the skinheads.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Exactly.
That's for the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
I used to hate Dick Cheney, her father.
Right.
This dude started wars that shouldn't have been, you know, in effect. That's why they still 20 years in Afghanistan right now.
Exactly.
Dick Cheney. Cheney's father.
Yes, Dick Cheney.
Yeah. Dick Cheney. Hey, do the history on him. What a villain he was. And he got a daughter, and she in politics. And she's supposed to be, the emblem of the Republican Party? For McCarthy? He ain't with it, because she don't support your man, Donald J. Trump. The biggest loser in politics that this nation have ever known. He's a big loser, Donald Trump. Everything he touched, it don't turn to gold. It goes into bankruptcy. And guess what? He put this nation in bankruptcy.
Exactly.
Because they lost their morals.
Yeah, just the start of the legal war. There was no mass weapon of destruction. And Iraq just totally tore that country up.
And you know the seams are unraveling for Donald Trump because they raided his private, you know, his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani's office here in New York, right?
Yo, Rudy. Oh, Rudy.
Rudy Tootie, yeah.
Yeah, Rudy Tootie.
Yeah. And Rudy is the linchpin because he got all the info. He got the goods on Donald Trump.
Exactly.
And law enforcement got all the info now. They raided his stuff. They took his computer, took his phone. They got him.
Katria, did you hear that Food Book is making a decision whether or not they're going to let Trump back on? First, they said it was a lifelong, you can't come back here. Nah, money talk, doesn't it? What do you think about letting
How long did you think that was going to last?
It didn't last very long. That's for sure.
And trust me, your man Donald Trump is on the same path as what's that dude? Adolf, what's his last name?
Adolf Hitler. Adolf.
Yeah.
Hitler.
He's on that same path, bro. Your man's on that same journey.
Exactly.
You got the Republican Party acting like a cult, yo.
Yeah.
Talking about hang my Pence, hang my Pence, hang my Pence, hang my Pence. Oh, snap.
They act like the Third Reich, ain't they? They act like Third Reich. I told them fellas cuckoo for cuckoo puffs.
Straight up. But to some serious things, you mentioned our brothers and sisters in India.
Exactly.
And that's a nation with over a billion people? Woo-wee!
1.4 billion.
That's a lot of vaccines, ain't it?
That's a lot of vaccines.
And how about if you have to get two? That's 2 billion vaccines I got to get.
Yeah, that's a lot of people, brother.
Yeah. India is proof that Asia got Asiatic black people. Indians that's darker than me, son.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. All up in India.
Yeah, all up in India. Yeah. Asia. Yeah, they certainly are. Darker than
you hear about the plane crash in Mexico City?
I didn't hear about a plane crash. I heard about
plane crash.
A plane crash?
No, a train with a T.
Oh, yeah. I misunderstood you. Yes, I heard about it downtown New Mexico. This thing was going like if you were in New York. I don't know if New York has those over. Well, I know Chicago does.
Yeah, we do.
Y'all do? Just like Chicago? Well,
elevated train lines, yeah.
Yeah, I've ridden them many a times. And just think going down.
I rode that train in Mexico City.
Oh, did you, man?
Yeah, called El Metro.
El Metro.
El Metro.
El Metro.
Yeah.
Well,
that train
is
quiet. You don't even hear the train coming when it comes. They must got rubber wheels on them because they ain't like the screeching trains that you hear in New York City. The El Metro in Mexico City? Wow.
Right. But look like the
subway. Quiet, but packed like sardines, bro.
But look like the infrastructure, Cartrell, was not upkept.
Well, was a brand new line that they had built. So engineers, the architects are in trouble.
Oh, snap, a brand new line.
Brand new line.
Oh, snap.
So, I think, how many people died? Like 24 people?
Yeah, 23 people. Right. Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden's talking about infrastructure, rebuild. You know how that's going to cripple this nation? You know how infrastructure and construction slows things down? And if you don't do it right, like we see in Mexico, it could collapse.
Right. Yeah.
So America is in trouble, for real. They don't even want to pass the bill for infrastructure.
Yeah, because
the infrastructure system is falling apart.
Yeah, well, because Scott, it's a lifeline for trade and commercialism. Because if you don't have roads and infrastructures and trains and whatnot, you can't get the goods in, you can't get the goods out. Can't get the people in.
Most of the bridges, most of the train rail system, it's about to collapse.
Yeah,
you don't want to be crossing a bridge and the bridge fall down.
Man, we saw that before. We saw that before. I think that was
in Ohio. A tunnel collapsed.
Man, come on now. You're going to make me not want to cross bridge and go in tunnels now, Katria.
Nah, you gotta travel fearlessly. Always put y'all before you go out your house.
Now you said a mouthful, brother. Now you said a mouthful.
I warned us here that there's no guarantee about life. Day and night, so we have to walk and be with Yah, you know, constantly 24/7.
Well, Cartrell,
my prayers go out to the people that's in line. Those severe storms in the south that Yah about to bring through in this tornado season we in, Yah is sure pouring out his anger on the earth, and they say 30 million people is in line, they in trouble. We just pray for our people that's down there, that's connected with the Most High, that He, you know, provides that protection for them.
Amen. I was going to ask something, Katrina, but it slipped my mind. Maybe it'd come back across something you said, but it slipped my mind. But be that as may, let's.
Regarding infrastructure and traveling?
No. Here's what it's in regards to. You're about to come to a conclusion on your study session in the book of Ecclesiastes pretty soon. Have you made a determination? Where you going from there?
Nah, something I got to think about. You okay. Mentioned Proverbs, Psalms.
Yeah.
So I didn't really give it too much thought when you mentioned Psalms.
Well, you ain't got that much time. You ain't got that much time. Yeah.
Repetition is important. And those Psalms gave strength and power and connection to our King David. And mm-hmm. we need to master, you know, a lot of the things that are in this book that connects right. us with the Most High. So a
Amen.
Lot of us remember the 23rd Psalm from when we were young. The Lord is my
right.
shepherd, I shall not want. But there's so
right.
many other powerful Psalms that are in there that
mm-hmm.
should be embedded in, that gives us, you know, spiritual strength and power.
Well, what about the Songs of Solomon? You consider that?
Oh, yeah. That's pretty much next. The Songs of King Solomon.
Okay. Yeah, the Songs of Solomon.
One of his lady friends.
Right, okay. Then back to... the psalmist. Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Cartrell's done with his commentaries, fellow students. I'm done with mine, and we'll get right into our studies, okay?
Yes, sir.
Turn to the second chapter, 2 Samuel, the 8th chapter. May the Most High bless us by the study of his word, and most importantly, the application of said studies. Sometime afterward, King David attacked the Philistines and subdued them. King David took Amath from the Philistines. He also defeated the Moabites, our cousins. He made them lie down on the ground. He measured them off with a cord. He measured out 2 lengths of cord for those who to be put to death, the 2 lengths. And 1 length for those to be spared. He had compassion because the Moabites was at us day one. I mean, that's more compassion they was giving us. So King David gave him compassion. I mean, and like I said, they was at us. Even our kinfolk have been at us from day one. So he gave him some
mercy. Well, you got to remember that King David sent his parents to Moab while he was running
right.
from King Saul.
Right.
It doesn't really say what happened to his father and his mother.
Right.
Maybe they did something to them. And
right.
the ones that did something to his mother and father, he probably doing them. But the other
right.
ones that didn't, he probably sparing them. But we don't know.
Right. Exactly. We don't know. But he showed them some mercy. Could have killed them all.
So these nations are in competition with us to get the land of Canaan. The Philistines,
exactly.
the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Most High didn't design it for them, which is why
right.
King David is on the warpath and having success against them.
Exactly. So as a result, the Moabites became tributaries, vassals of King David. King David defeated Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah, who was then on his way to restore his monument at the Euphrates River, a whole patch of land. King David captured 1,700 horsemen, 20,000 foot soldiers of his force. King David.
So,
go ahead.
What is the visual now extend from the Euphrates to the Nile River under King David?
Exactly. A huge swath of land.
Showing his territory that he was able to conquer
subdue.
For our nation.
Right. Right.
And it's the same land that the Most High promised Abraham from Euphrates to the Nile.
Exactly. So King David hamstrung the chariot horses, except for 100, which he retained. And I'm going to tell you, now you would think, King David, why would you hamstrung 1,600 horses? Well, the Most High don't want us to put our trust in horses then. were considered military arsenal. And so by doing that, he was showing, I'm not going to put my trust in military arsenal alone, because they were like military arsenal. So he humps it, but he kept 100. And that's a small number compared to what he had taken, 1,700. So he kept 100, which he retained. So what he's saying by virtue of, I'm not going to put my trust in my military armament. My trust relies in the Most High. And none of us should put our trust in military armament. That's why he hamstrung him.
And so that message applies to us today, would you say?
Exactly, Cartrell. Good point. And when the Armenians of Damascus came to aid King Hadadezer of Zobah, King David struck down 22,000 other Arameans. King David stationed garrisons. He had outposts. And Aram of Damascus and the Arameans became tributary vassals to King David too. Yah gave King David victory wherever he went. King David took the gold shields carried by Hadadezer, Retun, and brought them to Jerusalem from Betha and Barathia, towns of Hadaziah. King David took a vast amount of copper. When King Tor of Hamath heard that King David had defeated the entire army of Hadadezer, King Tor sent his son Joram to King David to greet him and to congratulate him on his military victory over Hadadezer. For Hadadezer had been at war with King Tor. Joram brought with him objects of silver, gold, and copper. King David dedicated these to Yah, along with the other silver and gold that he dedicated, taken from all the nation he had conquered. From Edom, he's telling you the nation he had conquered. From Edom, our brother, Moab, our cousin, Amnon, our cousin, from the Philistines, the Amalekites, from the plunder of Hadadezer, son of Rehob, king of Zobah. King David gained fame when he returned from defeating our brother Edom in the Valley of Salt, 18,000 in all. He stationed garrisons in Edom. No wonder they got a little animosity. Well, they started it. And he stationed garrison in Edom, and all the Edomites became vassals of King David. It was subjected to him. Yah gave King David victory wherever he went. King David reigned over all Israel. King David executed true justice among his people. Joab, son of Zeruiah, was commander of the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahulu, was the recorder. He wrote down everything. Zodak, son of Ahitub, of Ahimelech, son of Abitar, were priests. Nerara was a scribe. He wrote down, he like, a scribe is sort of like, now one was a recorder. He wrote, recorded everything. Like a, you know, you ever been in a court and somebody taking down notes and whatnot? So a scribe take down that information that someone take write down, and they write it on out. You know, they print copies of it. Okay? Benaniah, son of Jehoiada, was commander of the Seraites and the Peletites. King David's sons were priests. Not like Levitical priests. Cartrell, my brother and friend, what say you?
Said that King David shows more organization than King Saul.
He certainly
in
the
latter part of this chapter, right? He's delving out responsibility to the people.
Right.
What you gonna say?
I say, you certainly know what to say. King Dawood didn't micromanage. You know, he knew he couldn't do all that. He took the lead from Mose in a sense. When Mose kinfolk come to him by way of marriage, said, Mose, you man, why are you putting all this on you, bro? These folk gonna run you crazy. You know, so obviously King Dawood learned some lessons from Mose. You can't do it all. You gotta put your trust in trusted people. Not any people, your people, our people. Go ahead, Cardrell.
And a very important thing we see here is that King David was able to conquer our brother Esau, or the Edomites,
right,
and put them under his conquest, or garrison,
right,
they call it.
Right.
And from here, they remained for a long time.
Exactly.
And they actually stayed here until we fell and began to take on our identity.
Exactly.
Which is what the book of Obadiah is about.
Right.
But I find it funny that we had a king named Toy, a toy king, king named Toy.
Right.
And he was, now that's just me. He was fighting with this king, had Dezer, that King David
right
beat. Your man had gold shields.
Gold shields.
Who has gold shields?
I don't know. You talking
about a royal people, man.
Yeah, gold shields.
Talking about royal people. And he didn't keep it for himself. He dedicated to the Most High, giving
exactly
credit, you know, to the Most High for the victories that he really attained. He never
exactly
really sought accolades for what the Most High had him do for the nation,
yeah,
and Yah for himself. He
right
always gave Yah the credit and the glory, and he gave him the reward of the spoil of victory. And that's a lesson we got to learn, because you will have success as long as
right
you're rolling with Yah. And we see that King David is rolling strong with the Most High, not just in war, but even dealing with the people. It says,
right,
and King David reigned over all Israel. And King David executed judgment and justice to all his people. Praise
right
Yah.
Praise
that's
Yah.
A rarity. That's a breath of fresh air. You have a righteous king ruling, a fair king, a just king, a king that's not looking out for himself or got, you know, self-political gain in mind. A just king. That's why the Most High loved him.
It can be done. It
yes
can be done. And that's why the Most High says, King Dawood is a man after my own heart. He believes in justice, true justice. He believes in mercy, true mercy. You know, even when
that's
I...
That's important.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't kill all these nations, the Syrians, the Moabites, and the Ammonites, and the Philistines, and the Hadazor, like the Canaanites.
Right.
Most have to wipe the Canaanites out. They just, you have to take everybody out with the Canaanites.
Right.
But the rest of these people who are vying for the Canaanites' land, they are enemies, but the Most High didn't say eradicate them. It must
no
have been something that the Canaanites were doing that the Most High was utterly displeased with.
Yeah.
And it gets to that point where the Most High will annihilate whole nations because of what they do. That's why
right
the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Medes, and the Persians aren't around today. We don't see the Medes and the Persians and these people today. We see them in history when they dig up the artifacts.
Right.
But there's something about the Canaanites that the Most High was definitely displeased with.
Well, Kadri, I don't see why they find it so hard that King Dawood eradicated these nations. They don't seem to think it's so hard when the Spanish came over there and eradicated the Aztecs and the so-called other tribes in Mexico.
Inca, the Mayans, the Aztecs,
yeah,
Seminole.
And why is it so surprising? America did it when they came over here, the Pilgrims. They did. They eradicated nations. So why? Well, I'm so shocked. They were so brutal. Come on now. Stop
we were brutal against the people.
They were brutal.
Sacrificed their children to a fire god. My
right
people sacrificed goats. They would sacrifice their children
to a fire god. And unlike in these so-called Americas, this Western Hemisphere, where these people just say, I want that land. It wasn't anything they did wrong per se. You're nothing but animals. We live in houses. We got guns. You got bow and arrows. I want that land.
And they
yeah
savages.
Ain't nothing. What's this saying they had, Cadre we used to hear? The only engine is a dead engine.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York. What?
Oh, oh, we waved
those
that
are the
flag.
Songs that drilled in our heads, son.
Yeah, we waved that flag every day and have take no thought about it. But they get quick to point out King Dawid. Oh, they were brutal. Brutal.
And we don't even know
right.
how many Indian nations here that they smash. We don't see the Cherokee, the Mohawk, the Blackfoot, the Seminole, the Cheyenne,
no.
the Apache. Exactly. How many more? The Dakotas and the Montanas.
Yeah.
And,
right.
Yeah. We got fake name, the Brassicas.
Right.
And,
right. I mean, they're eradicated.
Native Americans.
That didn't do anything to them. Okay?
Try to welcome them. Try to share
yeah.
the land with them.
Tried to help them, you know, but then so we're so hypocritical to point out our founding fathers, but yet we don't take issue with the founding father of this Western Hemisphere. I mean, not only here, Australia, they said Britain was not a Anglo-Saxon country. They were dark like us. What about them? Oh, we quick to point out, oh, them dirty Hebrew Israelites. But we're hypocritical.
And we can see here that these nations that King David conquered, yeah, he subjugated them, but he didn't call them three-fifths of a human being and
no.
treat them like cattle and call them
no.
less than human beings.
No. He knew they were human. He knew they were humans. He treated them like humans.
Yeah.
He had
That's
mercy.
Right.
In spite
That's
of the
right.
fact they were at custom campaigning against us. They were at us. We were in competition for the land. They were in competition. They were battling toward us. So we had to defend ourselves. So like I said, I do them before they do me. So what was wrong with King Dawid and our nation? Say, I'm going to do you before you do me. When I ain't did nothing to you. So truth be told, and we studied the history of our cousins, our brothers, and some of these Amalekites and whatnot, the Philistines, them folks were at us day one, okay? They were at us day
and they
one.
They
right.
always talk about David and Goliath, King David
right.
and Goliath.
Right.
Yeah, this is a David and Goliath thing. Well, you know what the issue was? The battle was, if our warrior defeats your warrior, you're going to be our slaves. If your warrior
right.
defeats our warrior, we will be your slaves. That's
well,
how it works.
They were trying to enslave and subjugate us.
Yeah.
Day one, the moment our feet stepped in that land, they were trying to kill us and subjugate us. So what were we
and
doing?
And there were times they did.
Right.
Yeah, God delivered them.
If you were kind of, you so right, brother. Many times they did. They get the upper hand. And even that being said, King Dawid was merciful to them, showed them compassion, and like they showed toward us. So, hey, don't be trying to drop salt on us, okay? Look at the history of other nations. I mean, recent nation, Australia, as I said, Hawaii, this Western Hemisphere, America, Puerto Rico, the so-called...
South and Central America and Canada.
Right. So, hey, don't be hypocritical, okay? Don't try to whitewash everything now because it's modern, it's contemporary. And try to denigrate our history. What about your own? What about your own backyard? Don't try to make us a bad guy when there really are bad guys, bad girls. Look at the Republican Party. You got to bow down before the idol of white race supremacy or slash Donald Trump. If you don't, I'm sick of you. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. All right, Katria, if you're done with your
comments. And McCarthy is not as powerful as Cheney.
No, I know it. He think he is. He think he is. Dick got power. Dick gonna load a boom on him mess with his daughter. Dick ain't nothing
to play
with. Yeah, that's a cruel man. Dick ain't nothing to play with. He a cruel man. And you mess with that man child, you better be careful who you mess with. Dick don't play by this. I wouldn't play by my child. And Dick certainly don't play by the heels. You better believe it. It's something coming down for Kevin McCarthy. You better believe it.
Dick Taylor right. Shot his man on a hunting trip and got away with it.
Just don't go hunting with it, Kevin McCarthy. That's all I'm saying. All right, fellow students, if Cottrell is done with his commentary, I certainly am. We're going to move right along to the ninth chapter.
How he do that, man?
How did who do that? Shoot a man in the back.
He looked like a man on a hunting trip.
He looked like a deer. He was a deer with a...
He like
with
a deer.
Okay. He had a deer on.
Should she remind McCarthy what her father could do?
The only thing I'm going to tell Kevin McCarthy, don't go on a hunting trip with DJ. You mess with that man child, man. That man don't play that.
What?
All right, fellow students, Cottrell. Ninth chapter. King Darwin inquired, is there anyone still left in the house of, because you know he gave his word to Jonathan, Prince Jonathan, house of King Saul, with whom I can keep faith for the sake of Prince Jonathan. Now he gave word. Jonathan said, don't eradicate my heritage. So I got to keep
that.
Yeah. Yeah. The man was a man of his word. Right.
He didn't forget his word.
He didn't forget his friend, his brother. There was a servant of the house of King Saul named Ziba. They summoned him to King Dawood. And King Dawood inquired, are you Ziba? The king asked him. He said, yes, sir. He replied. The king continued, is there anyone at all left of the house of King Saul whom I can keep faith as pledged before Yah with Jonathan? Was she pledged before Yah? Ziba answered the king, yes, there's still a son of Jonathan whose feet are crippled. King asked, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, he's in the house of Meshur, son of Imnil, and Lo Debar. King Dawood had him brought from the house of Meshur, son of Amiel, at Lo Debar. And when Mizpah Boshet, son of Jonathan, son of King Saul, came to King Dawood, he flung himself down on his face in humility and prostrated himself before King Dawood and said, and King Dawood said, Mizpah Boshet. And he replied, at your service, sir. King Dawood said to him, don't be afraid, for I will keep faith with you for the sake of your father, Prince Jonathan. I gave him my word I would look after his heritage. I will give you back all the land of your grandfather, King Saul. Moreover, you shall eat at my table. You ain't got to fix no plates or whatnot. You ain't gonna never go hungry. Mizpah Boshet prostrated himself again and said, what is your servant that you should show regard for a dead dog like me? A nothing. I ain't nothing. And why should you show me any regards? I'm like a dead dog. Ain't nothing. And go ahead.
Who is this man, Yamsu?
He's the son of Prince Jonathan, a cripple.
Who is the son of who?
Son of King Saul.
This is King Saul's grandson.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to treat the king's grandson? You supposed to be hiding in somebody's house?
Yeah. Yeah, you should be on hide right now. But
his situation is precarious because, you know, King David and King Saul was at war with each other.
Right.
On a low. And we see what happened to King Isbosheth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for him to take this journey to see King David, his servant Ziba, to expose him, is anybody
right.
left for the house of Saul? He said, yeah.
Right.
Mizpah Boshet, son of Jonathan.
Yep.
That was right. really risky, right?
Yeah, it was risky.
But they knew that King David wouldn't kill him.
No,
but
they knew.
End the battle once and for all.
No, they knew King David was not cut from that kind of cloth. He was a merciful man. They knew he loved Jonathan, and Jonathan was his friend, and they suspected that he wouldn't do anything to Mephibosheth.
And Mephibosheth should be hiding from King David.
He should be.
He should not.
He shouldn't. Now, if he was King Saul and the script was flipped, he better be running. I don't care if he's crippled or not. You better have a cart to float with the wheels on. You better have a cop made with wheels on to get up out of there, okay? And flip the script. But see,
it's true.
It's true.
Mephibosheth is next in line to be king of Israel based on the fact that his father, grandfather, was the king.
Exactly.
And so he's next in line.
But King Dawood wasn't worried about that. He wouldn't worry about that at all.
No.
So the king summoned Ziba, King Saul's steward, and said to him, I give to your master's grandson everything that belonged to King Saul.
Praise Yah.
And to his entire family.
That's what they deserve, right?
Yeah, that's what they deserve. Because they didn't have no part in the fight. He said, you and your sons and your slaves shall farm the land for him and shall bring it in, Israel, to provide food for your master's grandson to live on. But Miss Boshi, your master's grandson, shall always eat at my table. He ain't got to worry about nothing, but you bring in that crop. Sheba had 15 sons and 20 slaves. Sheba said to the king, your servant will do just as my lord the king has commanded him. Miss Sheba shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. He going to be like a son to me. Miss Sheba had a young son named Micah. And all the members of Sheba's household worked for Miss Sheba. Miss Sheba lived in Jerusalem. And he ate regularly at the king's table. He was lame in both feet. He was crippled in both feet. And a man treated him like he treated his own son. And he ate regularly at the king's table. And the king didn't have a spear like his father, his grandfather, throwing it at him. It's quite unlike King Saul. He didn't antagonize folk, try to mistreat folk and hurt people. King David had a different kind of spirit, the spirit that most of us should be trying to ascribe to get, being a man after the Most High on heart. It's not taking vengeance on people, innocent people, or cripple or non-cripple, not mistreating them, abusing them, and sharing the love and breaking bread with them. And so we always say at the end of these shows, I'm going to ask Cartier his commentary on what we just read, but we always say at the end of these shows, that's why it's imperative that you get a new heart and a new spirit, one like King David, so you'll know how to treat folk. Otherwise, you wouldn't know how to treat folk. You treat folk any old, tacky old, messy old way, any way you feel like. You may be feeling something emotional. And I'm certain King David felt something emotional, but nevertheless, he didn't let his emotion dictate him. He let the word of Yah dictate his course of action, unlike some of us who let our emotion get the best of us. And Cartier have studied that in the book of Proverbs about letting, controlling your anger, letting your anger get the best of you instead of letting the word of Yah get the best of you. All right, Cartier, your commentary, my brother and friend.
It ain't just your anger. It's controlling your tongue, what you say, and
exactly.
who you deal with, and
exactly.
all that. Like you said at the beginning of the show, you know, this is for our people and for the nations that we deal with, the nations around us. And we see how refreshing it is for our leaders to do the right thing. So we have a leader that we could look at that always tried to do the right thing, kept his word that he promised to a dead man. Jonathan is dead. And you don't have to keep his word to Jonathan now, does he? Oh, yes, he does, doesn't he? And everything that his son deserved, he gave it to him, didn't he? Yes. So doing the right thing is refreshing. It's so refreshing. And the fact that he did this for Prince Jonathan's son and the grandson of King Saul is the reason why Judah and Benjamin were so tight all throughout our history. You can see that. Because it was really the tribe of Benjamin that was holding the nation down under King Saul for a long time. And he had this feud with Judah. But sometimes when families fight or brothers fight, they become the best of friends. I mean, you see know, that.
You just said something that strikes a chord that is poignant. I don't think you realize what you just said. And
I don't realize anything I say, y'all.
Okay.
You could elaborate more on it, but yeah, I know what I'm saying.
Okay, let me elaborate on it. What you said, that was why Benjamin and the tribe of Yehuda was so tight. They had a rocky beginning, but they showed a love. They saw the love that King Dawood showed to their brother tribesmen. They saw the compassion that King Dawood showed to their brother tribesmen, and so that solidified a constructive and positive relationship. So, thank you, Contra, for pointing that out to us.
Yes, and that's Judah's character. It goes way back, right, to when Jacob said, "I ain't sending Benjamin with y'all." Nah, hell, heck no. Y'all done killed Joseph. You want me to send Benjamin with you? And what did Reuben say? Oh, you could kill two of my sons, and I'll be responsible. And like Jacob was like, "Get the heck out of here with that. You want me to kill my two grandsons because you ain't bring Benjamin back? That don't even make no sense to me."
What'd you say? He said, "Get the hell out of here with that."
Then Judah stepped up.
God,
he said, "Send the lad with me. Send Benjamin with me. I put my life on the line for my baby brother Benjamin."
Right.
That's what Judah said way back in the beginning.
Right.
So this bond that they've had has been a long-standing bond. There's been some friction in between, but here it is. It culminates into this relationship between King David and Crown Prince Jonathan and his Crown Prince Jonathan's descendants.
Right. I mean, you made some valid points. You know what, Katya? I'm a man. I don't argue with the truth. Okay?
Yeah, so thank you for a while because it's our history. We need to know it.
Right.
If people don't like how our history roll, put the book down. It's our history.
Right. That on that. Don't get mad at Cartrell. Get mad at the book. You got a problem.
But again, I say it's refreshing when we read, you know, our leaders when they do the right thing.
Exactly.
And that's what we have to do now. Lift our people up. And that's what King David was about. It wasn't about him and the gift and the talent and the powers that the Most High gave him. He shared everything, his talent, his gift, his ability, his power. He put it in the hands of the people, right? Like,
exactly.
We're going to do this together. You know, it ain't about me, you know, and me enriching myself, which is what King Saul was trying to do. He built a monument. He built a monument for a victory that his son got.
Right, at the expense. At the expense of his son.
Yeah. In fact, he was ready, you know, to take his son out because he violated, nobody eat today. Jonathan wasn't around, so he ate the honey. You wanted to kill him because he ate the honey. People said, "Nah, King, you bugger." He's the one that got the victory, not you.
Right.
You remember that?
Exactly. I remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Most High shows us compare and contrast. We have good leaders, and we have leaders that don't get it. It's all about them. And we have too many leaders that it's all about them.
Right.
And most of our leaders have not uplifted our people. There have been some to bring us to the point where we are now. But a lot of our leaders today, they're way off the mark.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Godrell, Have you done with on that? We're closing out that study session, and we're opening up our last study session today in the book of Ecclesiastes. I've been gone for a minute. I don't know where I'm at, so I'm not going to say. But Avia, we have a good recorder in Avia. She's a recorder of the show. She keeps information. So Avia, if you don't mind, give us an update where we're at in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we'll Cartier is prepared to move right along.
Should be chapter 11.
Should be, but I would not venture to say, Cartier. I would not venture to say. So we're going to give a few seconds to the recorder, Abby, in New York City, to give us that information, that pertinent information. And so we'll move right along to conclude in and conclude the show. So Abby, I know you hear me. We need that information. We need it like yesterday. Folks are waiting. Real talk of real people show is waiting. I know it don't take you that long to text no message. There she go. There she go. Thank you, Abby. I made the most. I bless you. Chapter 11. You're correct, Cartrell.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Yes. We see there's more chapters. But I mean, he gave us enough. He gave us a lot.
Yep.
So much to meditate and think about. And we give thanks and praise to the Most High for our King, King Solomon, the preacher Lemuel, for his due diligence in the study of life, because that's what he's going to bring us to life. Our
right.
perspective of life from the King's perspective, from just a general perspective, and he's talking about spiritual things
right.
and common sense things that we've lost to a great degree. And some sciences seem so simple, but we need to go back to them and see how they work.
Exactly.
So we give thanks and praise to Yah for even this 11th chapter. He says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be on the earth. So in other words, it's better to give than receive. Because when you give, it comes back to you some way, somehow. So it's better to do good, help people, rather than always take. Like there are people who never give, who always take.
Right. That's why they ain't got nothing.
That's why they ain't got nothing.
That's why they always beg or something.
So he says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Why? Because that's what clouds are supposed to do, right?
Uh-huh.
Imagine cloud holding up the rain. I mean, what's the purpose of the cloud? If you got the rain, you're not letting it drop.
Uh-huh.
So you have to live out the purpose of what you're here for. He said they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. So they got that question. If a tree falls in a forest, does it make a noise? Yeah, it makes a noise, but you didn't hear it.
Yeah, but it's going, wherever it falls, it's what's going to lie, though. It ain't
right.
going to move. It ain't going nowhere.
It ain't gonna go nowhere, but when a tree falls, it does decay. It does have use for
right.
The living creatures. Everything recycles. There's nothing
right.
that's destroyed. Everything
right.
has a recycling process.
Right.
Right.
It recycles, right?
That's right. So the bugs get in it, and then it turns into compost. It's rich for the ground that, you know, brings up the next generation of trees.
Exactly.
That's how it works. He said, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. So you worrying about everything, all the negative stuff before you even get started, right? That's what people do. You got a plan. Oh, it ain't going to work. You can't do that. No, look, you're looking for the negative things before you even get started.
Right.
Right?
Why you can't do something?
Why you can't do something? Why you can't start a business, huh? Oh, you need this, you need that. They're not going to let you do this. You can't. And then what? You defeated before you even started, right?
Truth truth be told, Katja, you ain't even get started.
Right.
You're not going to even make a move because all your greatest issues is why you shouldn't do anything.
He said you're looking at the wind. You're looking at the cloud. No, get busy before before the wind start blowing, before the clouds start to drop the rain. Get busy, right?
Stop contemplating negativity.
And that's what people do. As you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child. So you do not know the works of Elohim who makes everything. So a wise man, King Solomon, he's trying to get into the mind of Yah. He realized I can't get there as wise as I am. I can't get there. I don't know what Yah's doing. I don't know how he did this or why he did this or where it's going. He gave me a certain amount of wisdom, but not enough to reach his mind.
Right. But this he do know. What I don't know, this he does know. And he's just positioning to what a person that says why he's not going to do anything. But this he do know, that I can't figure out what Yah is thinking, what Yah is doing. But I do know at the end of the day, I can't figure out how bones are formed in a baby's body in a woman's womb. But I do know one thing for certain. Yah is in control of everything at the end of the day. So stop contemplating negativity and do something constructive and a positive, because the outlook and the outcome is from Yah at the analysis of it all.
That's true. I missed the fourth verse. He said, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. So you worry about the wind. You're not going to put your seeds in the ground. If you don't put your seeds in the ground, you ain't going to be able to reap no crop.
Exactly.
So in the sixth verse, it says, in the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike would be good. So don't just be a farmer in a day. Got to have some other skills and abilities. Maybe make, furniture, because you don't know what's going to prosper. Is the crop going to prosper, or is your ability as a carpenter making furniture going to bring you income? And maybe both will, right?
Right.
So always find something to do. Stay busy. Get a skill.
Right.
Read. Research. Find something. Stay busy to make yourself productive. Because something might break for you. You never
true.
Know. That's what he's doing.
If you don't do nothing, ain't nothing going to break for you, Contrail.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. Right?
Because, just like that boy, the young fella that got choked out by the police, and, he was an introverted, and we talked about him. This guy taught himself. This guy is introverted, has mental disabilities, but yet this young fella taught himself how to play a violin, and came quite proficient at it. He didn't have contemplation of negativity, what he couldn't do, imposed by this society, what you can't do. Well, you can't do that. You're a blank person. You're a blank woman. What I mean by blank, you black. You blank. You can't do none of this. You can't do none unless we tell you can do it. But yet, that didn't happen to that young brother with all his mental disabilities, as we said. He didn't self-impose his limitations. But unfortunately, contrary, we self-impose limitations. We don't give Yah the opportunity to enhance our talents and abilities because we've self-imposed what society has imposed upon us. Society said blank people can't do that. But you blank people can't do anything. You're blanked out. You're black. You're blanked out. But that young brother, he didn't self-impose negativity upon himself. Y'all need to stop that. Cartier said it. Y'all need to stop that. Cartier didn't say it, but he said it by the word of Yah. But I'm telling you, y'all need to stop self-imposing negativity on you, that you don't do nothing. If Cartier, if it was left up to Cartier and Cartier and I were not constructive or positive brothers, there would be no real talk for real people. We wouldn't come on, ain't nobody listening. Well, we might as well not come on, they ain't calling. We don't do that because we don't know what Yah is working out in fine analysis. There's a saying, and I'm going to let Contrail finish. You can't measure the results of your action, but you can measure your actions. okay? We can't measure the outcome of what's going on the Real Talk for Real People show because this is a universal talk show. We can't measure the outcome. Y'all can, but we can measure our action by what we do every day. We can measure that. And you need to stop measuring the outcome and start measuring your action. Do something. Go ahead, Contrail.
So for me, I'm like that young man you were talking about that has disabilities and overcame them. Tell me what I can't do, and I'll show you that I can.
Amen, brother. Praise
my
God.
My motto.
Amen.
As my high school guidance counselor told me, when I went to her office, I told her I wanted to go to college. She
right.
told me, you're not college material.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
You can't make it in college.
Man, Contrail, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. You're a blank person, but you didn't buy into that lie.
Oh, no. That only set me on fire. Because
exactly.
I said, I'm going to show this B what college material is.
Well, let me clarify what Contrail was saying when he said, I'm going to show this B. I'm going to show this bad woman.
it had a little more razor's edge than that.
Well,
I wanted to blow her office up after that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you know, I gave a nice adjective for it. Go ahead, Contrail.
Don't tell me what I can't do, because it only motivates me to do it, to show you that there's no limitation. Don't let nobody tell you what you can't do.
Amen,
you need
bro.
A teacher to bring out what's inside of you. They call it intuition. You pay tuition, but it's really already inside you, and you
right.
can really bring it out of yourself. And I'll give
right.
you an example. You heard of Serena and
right.
Venus Williams?
Right.
Do you know that their father went to the library to learn how to teach them tennis from a book?
Well,
yeah. In Compton, where the Bloods and the Crips be warring with each other, Venus and Serena's father.
He was a damn good student. He was a damn
went to the library.
He was a damn good
He got
student.
A book. Mm-hmm. He got a book and taught his two daughters to be world champions. How about that?
Exactly.
Nothing's impossible, is it? And don't let nobody tell you what you can and cannot do. You can't take a black man in a black neighborhood and teach two little girls to become world tennis champions. Can you?
Contrail. You and Contrail, y'all can't start no radio talk show talking about y'all. Y'all can't do that. Well, we can't do it if we're doing it.
Somebody got to do it.
Somebody got to do it. What you mean? We can't do it if we're doing it since 2013 to 14. What you mean we can't do? It's a universal talk show. We got folks in Japan. We got folks in Australia. We got folks in Canada. We got folks in America. We got folks everywhere listening to the Real Talk. What you mean we can't do it? Who said we can't? We don't do self-imposed restrictions, okay? We don't do that. We don't limit our abilities. Now, you may want to. You may want to limit the abilities that y'all give us, but we ain't going to let you do that. We doing it. Praise y'all. Go ahead, Contrail.
Yeah, you can't limit what Yah puts no limits on. He told us to spread his word to the four winds. Prophesy to the four winds. We need to wake our people up and the world up to the truth of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah.
Amen.
The creator of heaven and earth.
Amen.
He said, the gods that did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from under the heavens and the earth. So he wants us to sound the alarm, blow the trumpet, and make the people aware. And they should be because they got this book in their hand. But I'm sure they've never really analyzed it, perused it, researched
right.
it in this manner,
right.
in the manner that we're doing ever before. So we give thanks and praise to Yah that he's allowing us and giving us the power to do it because we love him so much.
Amen.
He's teaching us so much.
Amen. He's given us so much. And Contrail and I, we're very appreciative. And we're trying to help you get to be appreciative and to get that devotion. It's not a religious thing. So we're not into a religion. And so it's a national thing with a flavor of a God of Abraham, the X factor, a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. It is not a religious thing. Don't get it twisted. We are people that's a particular people, a special people that Yah chose. Now, we didn't ask him to choose and say, hey, that's what he does. And it's not a religion. So don't get the game twisted, okay? And be that as it may, we're devoted to him. Cartrell and I, we're devoted to him. And I suspect the fellow students out there that listen to this show are devoted to him. And they want to know everything. They want to know the bird's eye view that we share with them in our studies. Cartrell and I, we're not your leaders. We're just spokespersons for Yah, which you all should be, spokespersons for Yah. That's all we are. That's all we want to be. We aren't anything special, and we're not your religious leaders, okay? Cadre, are you done with your commentaries?
Well, I just want to make a comment on that because I just got a question. How many religions have we come across in our readings that we've read about?
I've not read one. Well, I've read some on the other side. I read about Bala, Astaroth, and all them other kind of things that really didn't work for them. I'm going to go ahead on in this chapter, in this study, and I read about Elijah and 400 and something prophets on the other side. You know, they was speaking in tongues and whatnot, running around and raving and cutting themselves, and it didn't work out too well for them. I read about that. I just read about a simple man just following the dictates of Yah. Didn't take all that. That's what Yah wanted. He didn't want religion. He just wanted a devoted man or a devoted woman to do what he said when he said how he said doing it. That's all he want. He don't want all the religious canfaluting and carrying on and whatnot. And Elijah gave him what he wanted, and it worked out for Elijah. And so on and so forth.
So you're a little too far ahead.
Yeah,
We're dealing with nations right now, and all the nations we had to conquer. Matter of fact, the seven Canaanite nations, the Philistine nations, the Ammonite, the Moabite, the Edomite nations. We ain't talking religion here. We're reading history about land, the Euphrates, the Nile, the kings that we had to deal with. There's nothing religious in this. We're reading about history.
Right.
Like the kings of England, like the kings of Spain, like the kings of France, like the kings of China. We're reading about the kings of Israel, about the kings of Ammonite, the kings of the Moabite, the kings of the Philistines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Et
cetera. I like that.
And we're dealing with a particular nation in this book, because it's the bird's eye view from the Israelite nation perspective. So we're dealing with King Solomon, king of Israel, king of all 12 tribes. He didn't have any divisions while he was king, but he was very observant of human nature and the way things are under the sun. So I'm going to finish this out. Go ahead.
They talking about this pandemic. But now King Solomon said, ain't nothing been done under the sun, ain't never been done before. There's been a Rona before, and they handled it. They didn't need vaccines for it and whatnot. They handled it. And those that went because the Most High wanted them to go. And those that didn't go, they didn't go. So, you know, if the Most High wants you to go, ain't no vaccine can save you. If the Most High don't want you to go, ain't no plague can get you. And so that's what we've read in our study. So I don't know what y'all picked up on it, but that's what I didn't pick up on.
You ain't got to go back that far. I'm going to bring you up to like the 18th, 19th, 20th century, right?
Okay.
So during that period of time, Europeans were suffering from all kinds of diseases, bubonic plague, smallpox, syphilis, gonorrhea, who knows what else they had, right?
Yeah.
They came down to Africa with all those diseases. They packed us in ships, butt naked like sardines.
Right.
on like 3-5 month journeys over here.
Right.
And with all the diseases they was packing. Huh?
The closest confines you can get all up on for.
And with all those diseases that these people were packing, smallpox, which killed the Native Americans and the blankets that they sent them and gave them, right? Wiped them out. Those diseases ain't touch us. They ain't kill us. They ain't wipe us out. We still here like baby kids.
Man, why you got to say it like that? Why you got to put baby kids on us, man? They already call us blank people. Black mean blank. Now man. You call us baby kid. Man, won't y'all stop?
That's positive, man. Because all she do is multiply. And that's the one thing that I want, which is why they want you to take that shot. It might sterilize you.
Well, look here, Kasha. Did what y'all suspect about that shot? I think further down the road, they're gonna find that shot wasn't worth taking. Okay? It's gonna change some dynamics, and I'm gonna tell you, here's how it works out. This coronavirus they've designed, it makes antibodies that fight, and it makes these antibodies more robust, meaning your natural antibodies that are designed to fight everything that goes against your body. These antibodies are designed to fight against the COVID virus, meaning that if you got XXX big football players, they're huge and robust. Now, you got the natural guys, they ain't pumped up on steroids. That's just what they do. They fight anybody, they tackle anybody come across that line. But they didn't insert these new steroid-enhanced antibodies. See, these steroid-enhanced antibodies are designed to attack diseases X, Y, and Z. And which it does robustly. It attacks them. But what about A, B, and C? That means that A, B, and C can get by them because they ain't designed to attack A, B, and C. Meaning the regular guys ain't taking steroids. When they go to attack A, B, and C, the robust knocking them out the way. So A, B, and C getting through the line. A, B, and C is getting through the line because the steroid field antibodies is attacking. They ain't really attacking the A, B, and C. They letting them on through. But they jumping up to the line like they going to defend the line. But A, B, and C ain't who they designed to defend against. So when the other linemen, A, jump up to defend the line, they knocking them out the way. So A, B, and C getting on through the line. And they only and these antibodies are only designed to attack X, Y, and Z. So something's coming through your system that's going to cause you far more trouble down the road than just a corona, okay? So I just want y'all to know this from a scientific point of view, what you're up against. Now, at the Most High, won't you? Ain't none one of them antibodies going to do anything. They're going to get at the Most High and say, I want him. They're going to step off the line. And they're going to come on through. That's it on that. They're going to step off that line and whatever going to come on through. So I suggest to you that you connect with the Most High. Get you some devotion. And follow what Yah says as far as your life is concerned. As far as your relationship with him. Your relationship with one another, your relationship with different nations, that's what you need to be worried about. That's what you need to infuse into your system. What you put into your blood vein ain't going to save you. But what you put into your spirit, what you put into the heart of you, that's going to save you. Cartrell, you have any more commentaries?
I like that science class you gave us.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you, Cartrell.
I'm not as confident in science as they would like us to be. And
right.
They're urging the people to trust in science. But ain't it science that says we come from a big bang, we come from one cell, we evolved from apes and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I don't really in that science. And
I don't know about that ape thing, but I broke that ape thing down in the Abbey a long time ago, and I'm going to break it down to the listeners. They said we come from apes. That might not be such a bad. Ape got sin. But I analyzed the ape, and someone pointed it out to me. I analyzed the ape. And an ape don't look like us. Now, if you cut his hair, he ain't gray. He ain't white. He ain't black. He ain't red. He ain't yellow. He pale. He pink. Cut his hair. He got little wee wees, and it's still every damn thing he put his hand on. What that said? Who that look like? Don't look like us. So if you want to use an ape as an analogy, you fall off the mark when you talking about us. Don't look nothing like us, because we slanging, we hanging, and we ain't pale, and we don't sell every damn thing that's around us. So let's keep it real. If you want to talk about so-called black people look like ape, you a damn lie. His hair may look great, his hair may look black, but ape, if you shave his hair off, look pale. They got little wee-wees, and they steal every damn thing they get. So what they look like? That's all I'm going to say about that. Go ahead, Cardrillo.
I'm going to go back to Ecclesiastes. I'm going to stop, man. Any little thing I say, man.
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. My bad.
The light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for there will be many. All that is coming is vanity, and vanity is expensive. People, you know, chasing vanity, chasing after the wind, is very expensive. And he's saying it really winds up with no meaning. You spent your whole life chasing vanity. He said, rejoice, young men, in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, Elohim will bring you into judgment. Yeah, so you got to be disciplined when you're young. Have fun, live free, be happy, party, but be disciplined. Don't be violating. Don't have judgment when you have blood on your hands. It says, therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. That's what I was saying. For childhood and youth are vanity, and they pass very quick. Before you know it, you'll be 50, 60, 70 years old in a blink of an eye, and you wonder where the time went, and you pray that you did good in the time that you had. So young people, live your life to the fullest, but be disciplined, because those things catch up with you, don't they, Yamsu?
They certainly do, brother. Better take an ex-fool advice. Better take an ex-fool's advice. Karma will catch up. I've met that heifer on many occasions, and she is not nice. What goes around comes around. So make sure the go-around is the right way, not the wrong way. I've met her on many occasions, and she's not your friend. Karma.
She's not a nice lady.
No, she's not a nice lady. She's a bee lady, like Cartrell said, a bad woman.
She do damage to anybody and anybody. She don't care, male, female, young or old.
Yeah, she'll be, like Cartrell said, a bad lady. And he ain't lying. All right, Cartrell, do you have any more commentaries, my brother and friend?
No, I'm done, son. I'm done.
Okay, Cartrell, I appreciate it.
Yes.
I'm going to take that sum from you because you got me by 1 month. I'm going to let you have that.
my son walked in the room.
Hey, you are my elder. No, I'm going to concede that to you. You are my elder, and I love you like a brother. And I give you the shirt on my back. You better believe it, Cartrell. You laugh all you want, but you better believe it. I give you the shirt on my back because I got utmost love and respect. All joking
aside.
I'm like
you, David. If I won't fit, I'm only 5'9", bro.
You wrong for that, man. I still love you, bro. Look at listeners.
Love you too, man.
Thank you, brother. Listeners, we love you too. Cartrell and I love you enough to come back every day, that opportunity to present yourself, to share with you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, to give you a perspective, that you can see, that you can feel, taste, and touch. They see it from the eyes of his people, not the historical views of different nations and their tainted views, but from the very eyes of his very own people. And so you can ascertain the who, what, when, where, and how. As to how to relate with him, how to relate with your brothers and sisters, how to relate with different nations, strangers. And so we suggest that you, at the end of the show, get your new spirit, a new heart, one that loves Yah with all your heart, all your mind, that knowledge receptacle, all your soul, that you want revived, and all your strength, all the strength that you can muster, and your brothers and sisters as yourself, as you should, and that thirst after righteousness, as you should. It's been a privilege for Cartrell and I. We pray that the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps, and guard your tongues. We love you. May the Most High bless you, and good night. Shalom. Thank you.